that was honestly one of my favorite episodes we've ever done. I'm not gonna lie.
Hell yeah, I'm glad to deliver.
All right, we are back with another episode of the Take a Chance podcast, number 71. For the people watching, co-host Will cannot be here today. He's going through some stuff, an illness, as you guys may have known on the last few episodes. Well wishes to him. You'll see him soon, though. He'll be back on the pod soon. But today, this one's been in the works for a minute. Took probably, what, 2-3 times to get you on here. But today in the building, we got Felix the Don. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. I know your hands are full right now, but
hell no, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate you having me on. You know, this is dope. I love the setup so far, and I'm excited to have a conversation with you. Like appreciate you said, it. We've been trying to do this for a minute, man.
Well, you had something going on. What was it? We had to cancel the first time because you were going to, was it Florida or something?
Yeah, I went to Miami. We was in Punta Gorda, Miami, riding jet skis and just going to the beach. It was nice.
Hell yeah.
Man, they shut Miami down. It was spring break, but The beach closed at 6 o'clock. It wasn't a lot of people. Yeah, a couple years ago they put out like some, it's like a we're breaking up with you like video. Mm-hmm. And it was like Miami residents talking to spring breakers like, don't come here, there's gonna be curfews, there's DUI checkpoints, all that shit, because there was like a bunch of crazy shit that happened like 2022.
Isn't that what happened in Panama in like 2014, 2015?
It's always crazy out there, but it was not this year. That shit was chill as fuck.
I went to Fort Lauderdale for my one of my college spring breaks, and I know Lottie's getting kind of like that to that point too, but I don't know. Lottie's hard to shut down. It's been crazy down there the last few years.
It was straight though, because I mean, you know, I've been out of college for a minute now, so I really wasn't even trying to go down there and have it be super crazy. I was just trying to relax, have a good time. I work a lot. Yeah. So it was nice. It was a nice balance because during the day it was popping, but then in the evening it was more chill. Which was nice. Yeah.
Well, I do want to kind of jump into your upbringing a little bit. I mean, we touched a little bit off camera. But yeah, like run me through
pause,
like before
that was crazy.
What
I said pause that was crazy.
Oh, I didn't even know it was like that. But no, give me a little bit about your upbringing, you know, before music came into the picture, before the whole entertainment side of things came into it. What were you doing as a kid? Where are you from? Were you playing sports, like, you know, just childhood?
Okay, so back in the day, you know, I was born in 96. I'm 28.
Okay.
I come from a huge, huge family. Like, my, you know, shout out my mom, Sonia, my dad, Jason. I have 8 siblings on my mom's side, and then I have a different dad. So on my dad's side, I have 8 siblings. And then I'm the youngest on my mom's side, and I'm the second oldest on my dad's side.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a weird dynamic, huge family. Like, it's very different on both sides. But yeah, grew up in Detroit, like, till about, you know, end of elementary school, going into middle school. We moved to Warren. And then that's pretty much where I lived until I graduated high school, went to Lincoln High School. Eminem actually went to Lincoln High School.
Did he?
I love telling people that. Yeah. He went there for like 3 years and then he dropped out. But he
I did not know he went to Lincoln. Yep. That's where Imani went too, right?
Yeah.
For
his
freshman year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went and watched a game of his at Lincoln. Yeah.
So that shit dope. So went to Lincoln High School. In high school, in middle school, mostly like end of middle school, going into like 8th grade, I started playing sports. So I played football, basketball, and baseball. I actually wrestled for a little bit too, sometimes just kind of for just to stay in shape.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't start playing baseball, I think, till sophomore year. I ran track my freshman year and I did like shot put and like 40 meter dash and shit like that. But I didn't really fuck with track. So I switched to baseball and I was actually pretty good at baseball. I think I made varsity my sophomore year.
Okay.
So play sports, was always into music though. I was in choir growing up. I don't know if you did like band or choir.
No.
But like in high school, in band and choir, you would have to go to these little competitions and like sight read. And so for choir singers, like you have to sing. For band people, you got to play your instrument, obviously.
Right.
And they used to call it solo and ensemble. So I used to do that. We used to do like musicals and plays and shit like that. So I kind of always grew up around music. My brother's a singer, my sister's a rapper, my dad's been in the music industry. And then when I got to college, I went to Ferris.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at Ferris, my fraternity, Pi Lam, joined those guys, and they had like a couple different artists, and like Big Chris was in there. He's a producer. Yep. You know, Rick, my boy Rick Lane, he's a rapper. You had Shane, who was like a DJ. Caleb was a DJ. So it was like you had all this music around you. You had Jeremy, who was a producer. It was like it was so much music around, and they kind of really embraced me as an artist. And that's really where I kind of found like, damn, I really want to make music for myself. So I recorded my first record at Ferris State. In their studio. I have a really nice studio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like on campus?
On campus.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they have a music industry like management program. Mm. So they have a music program at Ferris.
See, I'm a Grand Valley guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I know
yeah,
we're
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of rivals.
We don't gotta talk about that. So, yeah.
No, but like, what was Ferris like outside of your music, and like, did you study music? Is that what you said? You studied music?
Yeah. So I studied business and music industry.
Okay.
I actually went there for law, and then I switched like. I don't even think I took one law class my first semester, and then I switched.
See, my time at Ferris, I go up there and visit some of my buddies and party and whatnot. It's out in the middle of nowhere. So, like, what was that like going from, you know, city vibes growing up to getting out there?
So, to be honest, the transition wasn't too bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, we didn't even know Ferris existed until my senior year. We were still trying to figure out, like, where do niggas want to go to school? I got this internship my junior year for GM. Like, 10 kids in my class got it. And we got scholarship offers to Detroit Mercy. Went to Detroit Mercy. It was beautiful. But then you step off campus, you like, you in the hood. Like, well, fuck this. So, we don't know where we want to go to school. So, our coach, shout out Coach A. Coach A, if you watch this, I love you. He's still coaching over at Lincoln right now.
Okay.
He's the head coach over there, and I think he's athletic director, some shit like that. My bad if I'm getting that wrong. But Coach A played in the NFL, fucked his knee up. He went to college at Ferris, played football there.
Okay.
So one day, he like, I'm going to take a bunch of the seniors to my alma mater. You know, it's a few hours away. We go on a little tour, see if y'all like it. So me, my boy Mike Abuya, my boy Stephen Gilmore, and then a bunch of people from our class, we ended up going on the tour with Coach A to Ferris and fell in love with that shit, honestly. Like, it was nice getting away. And even though Ferris is in the middle of nowhere, like you say,
it's really not, though.
It's like, there's 15,000 people in 3 miles.
And that,
it don't feel like
I was going to say, at the same time, like, if you had buddies that were going to Central, you had buddies that went
exactly.
to Grand Valley, you had guys, you know, like,
yeah.
It's like out of the way, but it's like kind of in the middle of like everything, if
yeah.
that makes sense. That's how I felt about Grand Valley, because Grand yeah. Valley, it's like, did you want to go away for college? Like, did you want to, like, you know,
yeah.
have a little drive,
I mean,
to it?
I did want to go away, but then it was like, that was handsome to me, was like, damn, I can go away, but still really come home if I want to, you know?
That was my biggest thing,
yeah.
was you can get there and back in one day.
Exactly. So that's really what was cool to me. And then the campus was really nice at Ferris. I mean, you know, you come from me, I grew up in Detroit, then growing up in, like, South Warren, you know, we never had the best shit, you feel what I'm saying? So you get up there, it's nice, the houses are nice, the dorms were even nice as hell,
yep.
you know, they're feeding you, it was cool, it was all state-of-the-art, and I was like, man, this school is dope. And then at that time, we kind of all wanted to go somewhere together, and Ferris, I mean, no offense to Ferris, it was easier to get into than other schools, which is crazy because Ferris has like 100% job placement for a lot of their degrees,
yep.
especially in engineering.
Yep.
So it's a little easier to get into Ferris, but then to stay in and do well, you know, obviously it's still college. You
yeah.
know what I mean? But so that played a part too. It was like, where can we kind of all go together? Because me, Steven, and Abuya all ended up going to Ferris together. And then our boy Brandon came up because he was a year under us. He came up our sophomore year, and then we all actually joined the same fraternity.
Wow.
Too. Yeah.
And you said you met Chris there?
I met Chris there.
Is he from around Detroit originally?
Yeah. So Chris from Detroit, he went to Ferris to play football.
Mm.
So I was a football player there. And then and I'm sure he's going to talk about this on his episode.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Chris.
Yeah. Keep that coming out in a few weeks.
Yeah. But, yeah, he played football there, and then he joined the fraternity that I was in, and then he was the initiation chair.
Okay.
So not to speak on it too much if any brothers see this, you know. But he was the initiation chair, so Chris was, like, the final boss.
Mm-hmm. No, I get what you're
Paul,
saying.
Crazy,
I get what you're saying, though.
That's basically what the nigga job was. It was like, he was like the nigga who determined, like, you know, are you cut or not? You
right.
know what I'm saying? So, and Chris, a real, you know, Chris a real nigga, so. But yeah, so that's actually how I met Chris. I had met Chris. They like hide that nigga from you or some shit. I don't know. But then I met Chris going through that process, and then because I didn't meet him like at Rush events and shit like that. Mm-hmm. I don't, or maybe I just missed him. But you know, for anybody who don't know what a Rush event is, like fraternities throw these events, you can come hang out.
It's like the recruiting tactic,
right?
Yeah,
it's like a recruiting tactic. Like they might throw a party, or they might have you out to a hookah lounge. Like we went out to a hookah lounge for my first restaurant. That shit was cool as hell. But yeah, so I didn't meet Chris until later in the process. Mm. But once I met him, we clicked right away. We started vibing on the music.
Right.
Yeah.
So you said you played sports growing up. What was your favorite one?
Basketball has always been.
So are you a big Pistons guy right now?
Yeah.
How you feel about them making the playoffs right
now?
Man,
I honestly, I had a feeling we was gonna make the cut like a month and a half ago when the run kind of started.
When you say cut, do you mean the top six
the
or
top
like play-in?
Yeah, no, top six. Because okay. I was worried about the play-in because even I mean it's like you never know, niggas is hooping and that it's like do or die, you
right?
Know what I mean? So I'm like I really don't want to go into play-in. So once that run started though, when they started beating bigger teams, I'm like yo, we might make a run because the East it's tough. It ain't as tough as the West,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So once they went on that run like a month and a half, 2 months ago when it started, once you know the refs started being on bullshit, Kay got hurt and then came back. Like, man, but them boys is hooping, for real. But basketball's always been my favorite.
I saw a stat that said Cade Cunningham averages the most points with the least amount of free throw attempts or something like that. And I'm sitting over here looking at Shea on the Thunder.
Yeah, they were saying he's just, like, out there just getting genuine buckets,
for real.
And he don't shoot a lot of threes. Like, his game's not crazy, crazy fancy. That nigga's out there hooping, bro.
Yeah,
I love it.
He's just fundamental and does his thing, but I want to go to a game so bad this upcoming week against the Knicks.
Yeah, I was thinking. I think we might
tickets
go
aren't
to a
too
game.
Bad either.
They're not that bad. I think we're gonna go to a game.
Hell yeah!
Because they really not man. Shout out StubHub, bro. I get all my shit out StubHub. If I can't get them from AP, man, then I go to StubHub.
Have you heard about that new one, TickPick? It's got no service fees.
Oh, I be seeing that shit on Instagram. Is that real though?
Yeah, yeah.
I see that.
My little brother gets all of his tickets.
Trust on Instagram.
My little brother gets all of his tickets off of there. But yeah. So, I mean, we already jumped into how you kind of got started in music. You do have two songs that you've dropped in 2025, I Ain't No Romeo and Iced Up, right? Or is it
Iced Up, Piped Up.
Yep. What kind of went into those? I know you said there's the feature on that, Gamo.
He goes by I am Gamo, but the nigga named Gamo. That's my dog, though. We got a lot of music together. So, I Ain't No Romeo, to be honest with you, I'm going to be real. I don't remember recording that song. But before I sound crazy conceited right now, I have 73 songs, and y'all can quote me on this. You can go fact check this. I have 73 songs on streaming. I probably got about 90, like, out there in the world for free, if you include SoundCloud and YouTube, shit that never went to streaming. And then I have a lot of songs in the vault, and then I've done a lot of features. I've been making music for like 10 years. So I really don't remember recording I Ain't No Romeo.
Okay.
But I found it, and I was like, damn, I wanted to drop something for Valentine's Day. It had the I Ain't No Romeo bar in there. I'm like, this kind of works. But I think that was just something we was in. Because a lot of times, especially a few years ago, I would just go to the studio. We find a beat. We just write, and we just kind of create. Like, I was in a real creative space at one point. Where now it's a little more intentional. Like, I know what I'm going in there to record now. Yep. Unless I'm, like, just linking with an artist and we're like, let's just go vibe. But no, not even, because I just write on the spot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just write on the spot. I can write a verse in, like, 15, 20 minutes if I'm just sitting there vibing for a little bit.
Right.
I feel like it's more conducive for me that way. Some people, like Gamo, for instance, Gamo will go on the booth and just mumble until he come up with bars, and then 30, 40 minutes later, that nigga got a fire 16.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
I kind of do the same thing, but I'm doing it to my pad. You feel me? Like, I'm sitting there mumbling, rapping, and then I knock it out a little quicker, but then it might take a second to record.
Trying to find that melody and whatnot. Yeah, I get that.
But, yeah, so I Ain't No Romeo was one of those, like, just being creative in the studio, and then I kind of found it in my, you know, in my archive, and was just like, damn, I want to drop a song. This shit's hard. I'm like, it's just me, too. You feel me? So, actually, no, is Gamo on there too? Man, Gamo's on so much.
I thought he was on both of them. I could
be
wrong.
He might be on both. That nigga on a lot of music, man. But yeah, so that's kind of how that came about. That was, I don't want to call it a throwaway, but I listened to it again, fell in love with it, was like, let's drop it.
And you said, how old is that song?
I Ain't No Romeo. I probably recorded it 2 years ago.
Damn.
Maybe 2-3 years ago.
I don't think that, like, the average listener, like, understands what really goes into making a track like that, too. You could be sitting on something for, like, I just saw Benny Blanco talking about he had a song for 8 years before it came out, and it went number one. Like, it's just, like, It's crazy to think.
It's old to you.
Yeah.
It's new to everybody else. Right. That's what I could. Bro, trust me, 150 songs, 200 songs deep, I be thinking like this shit old. But like, man, shout out D. Man, he's one of the dudes that he shoots my podcast. He's like creative director for the podcast. And dog like loves this song I got called Missing You. It's like one of the first like poppy kind of tracks, like EDM tracks I did. He loves that shit. And he like, bro, you need to push this song because it's like 5 years old. Mm-hmm. I recorded maybe 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
But it is fire. So I'd be feeling like it's old to you, but it's new to somebody else.
I was going through your catalog. You do have a lot of different bags that you can jump into, I feel like.
I just love music, man. Like when I said I was in choir, like, man, we wasn't singing like R&B. My choir director was a 60-year-old white nigga going crazy on the keys. Shout out Eric Miller, bro. That nigga's a G. He still does it to this day. And, you know, he had us singing like Negro spirituals and, you know, gospel music and like Christmas songs and fucking like old like Beethoven shit. Like this is like that. I really like he had us really studying how to sing classical music, right, which was really cool. So I learned that early on and I kind of incorporate that into the rap shit. And that's why I can like bend genres, I feel like. And I just love music. Like my playlist is crazy. You might hear it might be reggae. It might be rap. You might hear some screamo. You might hear fucking a pop record. You might hear a ballad. I don't know. You never know what you're going to get.
Do you mix a lot of your stuff too, or do you got someone else doing that? Have you jumped into producing at all, or are you just recording really?
I've always been blessed to be around talented people. I want to get into producing, and I don't know necessarily about engineering. It's a little more of a different beast, I feel like.
Right.
Definitely something I want to get into in my future, because I think it's just, as an artist, that's just good to have in your tool bag. But I have been blessed to have access to people where I can get what I need done, you know, on the low and have it sound industry standard and really get it out in a timely manner. Yep. So shout out Big Chris, shout out Mike Seeger, you know, anybody else who've done like beats for me, shit like that. But Get Fresh Studio, man, it's efficient, and that's pretty much where I make 90% of my music. So yeah, I just been blessed to be around those people and be able to get my shit out the way I want to.
Oh yeah.
But that's definitely something I want to do in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're also a fellow podcaster, podcast host.
Yeah.
Where did that idea come from? You know, like, why did you want to get into the podcast space? What really went into getting that started?
So I really want to act, to be honest. Like, acting is something I've always wanted to do. Like I said, I used to do like musicals and plays and shit. So I come from that background, and I feel like I needed to get a little more comfortable on camera. And we can go a little deeper into that, too, in a second. But really, it's to get more comfortable on camera. And then I was like, damn, I really get to do a lot of cool shit being in, like, the industries that I'm in and, like, the people I've met over the years. So I'm like, how can I put that on display in, like, a positive way?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because nobody likes to... the nigga who flexes about the people he knows. You feel me? Like, that shit's lame. But it's like, I do get to meet some cool people and sometimes be in some cool situations. It's like, how can we really, you know, promote this and make it positive? You feel me? So that's kind of where the idea came from. And then I've always been like, and I don't even know if a lot of people know this about me, but I've always been like a talk show buff. Like, I fuck with like Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon Conan back in the day. Like, I really love, like, I used to watch Ellen when I was a kid. Like, I fuck with the talk show kind of vibe. So
Oprah.
I'm like, how can we bring that vibe to Detroit and then have it still have the musical element like those shows have too? Because the biggest thing was they was bring on these big celebrities. They, you know, because my favorite ones when they bring on the cool celebrities, they have a good conversation and then they bring on somebody, they do like some type of performance. Those are always my favorite episodes. So I'm like, damn, we don't have nothing like that in Detroit. So that's kind of where the idea came from, was like, how can we blend that and then bring it to the city? And that's where the Loft came, the Loft 313 came
from. I was just about to say the name because I forgot to say it earlier, but you do that at Get Fresh, right?
Yeah, so it's dynamic. So we shoot it at Get Fresh at Double Vision Studios upstairs in the Loft space. So we shoot it up there, but we've been being dynamic where, you know, we pulled up to this like kind of speakeasy we just did with Darren McCarty. So we did so we did that with him. It's like a little, like, you know, secret bar kind of vibe. It's like a bar within a bar, like the back bar you can smoke in, and it's like all nice and shit.
Right.
So we pulled up there, did the Darren McCarty episode. We did some shit with the Skyman CEO in the similar place. We were supposed to pull up out in Ann Arbor yesterday to a studio. I ain't gonna say who, because that's still gonna happen. Artist got sick, you know, feel better soon. So once that happens, so we will pull up too, you know.
Yeah.
It's nice to have your own space, and it's cool because the setup is nice and people really, you know, pride on the, they come in and like really congratulate us on the production. Like a lot of people that came in there, they're like, damn, we really didn't expect it to be like this, because D's got like all these lights and cameras. It's crazy. So
I can only imagine what it looks like behind the camera, because on camera that setup looks phenomenal. So I applaud you for that, because that shit's fire.
I appreciate it. So yeah, so that's really me. Like, this is what I want, and D brought it to life.
Right.
You know, and Delvon, shout out Rena. They help a lot with the podcast. They always, you know, got my back and making sure I got whatever I need. You feel me? Niggas lifting bags, setting up light poles, all type of shit.
You got a good team around you.
Yeah. So
takes a village.
Yeah, it takes a village for sure. We got a little small village right now, but it's growing. We need some interns, man. If y'all want to come shoot some dope podcasts, hit me up.
Yeah. Well, go check out the Loft 313. And that, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it sponsored by Liv? Because I know you're big in the cannabis industry.
Yeah. So Liv has always got a place in my heart, man. I've been with that company for 6 years now.
Wow.
I've actually had a hand in opening all 9 locations, like, you know, setting the store up, training the staff, you know, anywhere from, you know, loading up the products, taking them off the truck, getting them on the wall, making sure they scan. And then I run my own location as well on like a day to day. So I love Liv, love Common Citizen. You know, they pay the bills and they support me in my music and the podcast. So they actually were my first pay sponsor. So shout out Liv. Yeah, they're first pay sponsor, but we've had many pay sponsors. Let me see if I can remember all y'all, like Growing Pains and Michigander Fire. Shout out my guy Tim and his team over there. We got Legacy Farms, you know, Steve Cato and all those guys over at Legacy. Who am I missing? Uplifted, my boy Tony. You know, The Coast with Brent, and I'm missing some people, so I apologize if I don't say your name. Flower Power, you know, Donovan and Doran. We've had a lot of dope sponsors, so it really helps to be able to put on a nice production. And like all the, you know, any sponsors that come on, really what we do is we just try to enhance the show as much as we can. Like, you know, the money that we've put into the equipment is, you know, it shows on the camera as the show has progressed. You know, I feel like I sent this one dude, because I had a potential sponsor at the store yesterday. And I was like, yeah, I had Mike Morse on. And he's like, he's like the lawyer? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's my dog. I'm like, we golf and shit. He's like, oh, that's so cool.
You're
I'm
into
like,
golf? Hold on. I don't mean to cut you off, but you're into golf?
I do golf.
All right, we'll touch on that in a second. Keep going.
I'm like, yeah, we golf and shit. He's like, man, I got to check that one out. So I sent it to him. But I'm like, man, that was like 1-4, one of the first 4 episodes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, this quality of this episode is just not as good as it is now. But it was still even great at that point, you know? Right. So I'm proud of like the progression that the show has made.
Hell
too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, great production on it for sure. Still with the pod, you had an episode with Calvin Johnson. I want to know, because I'm sure as a football fan, you probably grew up idolizing Calvin Johnson. Yeah. You know, what's it like to sit down with him and get to know him? And, you know, I just think that's dope that you had him on there. So,
yeah, man, that was a blessing. So what's crazy about that situation is, you know, believing in yourself, manifestation. Like, that's something I've been really trying to get into. And Delvon can fucking attest to this. If y'all don't know, Delvon's sitting over here. That's why I keep talking about him pointing over here. But he can attest to this. Is when we started the podcast, I already knew Calvin Johnson at that point. So the reason, I'll tell the backstory. So I told you I opened all 9 Liv locations. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I was the GM of Liv Lake Orion.
Okay.
We had Primitive, you know, shout out Primitive, the whole team over there. We had Primitive, this like a cannabis brand. They came and did like a vendor day where they come set up, and Primitive went all out. Like, they had like a DJ booth set up with like screens and shit. Yeah. He was in the fucking bud room playing music. You feel me? They was giving away free product. It was cool. So the bud tenders was selling, and whoever sold the most was supposed to win a prize. So my boy Ezekiel, he was flipping packs that day. He fucking won. He ended up winning. So one random like Tuesday, I'm at work. Ezekiel calls off. That's important to the story.
Okay.
Ezekiel calls off. So I get a call up to the front. I go up front. Fucking Calvin Johnson standing right there. He's like, yo, what's up, Felix? He's like, man. He's like, I came through because Ezekiel won the fucking Primitive bud tender contest, and I wanted to personally give him his gift. Ezekiel called off that day.
Damn.
So I'm like, bro, I'm like, well, Ezekiel called off. I'm like, but you know, he's like, man, well, I still want to come in, check out the store, you know, meet the staff, whatever. So he came in, we kind of walked around the store. He like met the staff. He met all the people that were at the store, took some pictures. We chopped it up for a little while. And then at the end, I have this I don't even really use it like that no more, but I have this dope ass card where I can just like tap your phone and then all my info goes to your phone. Like my number, you know, my Instagram, my music, all that shit.
I
feel
like I know what you're talking about. I think I've seen something like that on Instagram.
Yeah, it's called
before.
A dot. So they have like a little thing you can also put on your phone where it's just like a little pin. But so I did that. So when he left, he was like, man, he's like, so you make music? I'm like, yeah. He's like, man, I'll check your shit out, whatever. So now I tapped in my info. Didn't really hear from him for a little bit after that. But then I had always said when we started the podcast, I'm like, man, I really have like a straight line to Calvin Johnson. Like, and he cool as hell. I'm like, we've met once or twice. He's super humble,
right.
Good dude. So then we ended up linking up again, and this was super random, and this is why relationships are super fucking important. So shout out my boy Mike Subi. So Mike Subi's like becomes the, I don't know what you would call him, like director. He's a director with Primitive, you know, like he helps with like distribution and like shit like that for their product. So we linked up because at this point I think I was back in Detroit getting ready to go over to Westland, and Mike ended up they had like some type of event. It was the Ravens versus the Chiefs, I think, in like the playoffs, like 2 years ago.
It's a banger of a game.
Yeah. So, and they had this event at the Hotbox Social in Hazel Park. And it was like, it was a private like watch party, and it was for Primitive, and Calvin and Rob was going to be there. So fucking Mike invites me, and he let me bring like 8 of my homies. So a bunch of my homies who fucking love Calvin Johnson end up coming. We go to this event. We get there early. We're chilling. They got food, all type of shit, free weed. It's like fucking THC-infused punch and shit. So we chilling, and fucking Robson, Calvin Johnson walk in. They come right over, fucking end up sitting down. He recognized me right away. Like, that day, he caught me, bro. I don't even know. I fangirled a little bit, because that nigga, like, dabbed me up and called me brother. He was like, man, how you been? He called me by name.
First name
and shit.
Basis.
I'm like, bro, I'm like, that's my nigga now. We good. You feel me? But no, bro, like, which was really cool about that day, he came right over, embraced me. Then he embraced all my friends.
That's dope.
And then he smoked with us. He took pictures with us.
I forgot he was big in the cannabis
industry,
yeah, too.
It was a real cool experience. Like, he signed jerseys for my boys. Like, some of my boys, like, still see me, and they're like, bro, like, that was the best day of my life, bro. That's crazy.
No, that
was really cool. And then I used that opportunity to talk to him. I was like, man, I got this podcast. I would really love to sit down with you and Rob. You know, shout out Rob Sims, too. He played on the Lions. He's his partner with Primitive. I'm like, I would love to sit down with y'all on the podcast. He like, yeah, man, I need to introduce you to Ken. He's like, Ken does everything on my schedule. He'll get you right, and we'll get it locked in. Met Ken that day. Lock that shit in. And
that's
then they
fire.
Actually, they pulled up, man. Him and Rob pulled up dully.
That's fire.
Pulled up by themselves. We got high, had a good time, had a good conversation. It was cool. So they, shout out Calvin Johnson and Rob Sim. Shout out the whole Primitive team. You know, they show a lot of support. I fuck with that brand a lot.
Yeah. That's dope as fuck.
So that was cool. That's the first time I ever told that story. But it all just, the stars fucking aligned to make that happen, for sure.
I do want to jump into the golf.
Okay.
When did you start playing golf?
So it's funny. So the started playing golf goes hand in hand with Mike Morse. Yes. So when I was I think at the time I was just the fulfillment manager at Liv Ferndale. So Liv Ferndale was that's the OG, that's the first store. I started as bud tender there, ended up becoming a manager, and then we would always have these weekly manager meetings, right? And that's really where I learned like repetition and like really having those everyday powwows with like somebody. If you're trying to build something, is real important. So we would have those little once a week powwows. All the managers meet up with the owner, and we talk about, like, you know, what happened in the past week, you know, where are we going, what do we got coming up, whatever. So in one of the meetings, they're like, yo, we're gonna do a golf outing with the Detroit Police Department. He's like, who wants to go to this fucking golf outing? Because he's like, I don't have time to go. He's like, if I go, I'm not gonna golf. So he's like, who wants to go? He's like, we need a team. And I was like, shit, I'll go. He's like, do you know how to golf, though? I'm like, I can put a team together. We'll be good. So then my boss makes me the team leader. So then I recruited, and I don't think any of these niggas even work. Like, this dude, Zach. I recruited Zach. He worked in inventory. And he's like, him and his dad and his brother golf all the time. So I took Zach, his dad, his brother with me to the golf outing. And we went to Detroit Golf Club, which is, like, one of the biggest golf courses in Detroit. They have, like, the PGA Tour there and shit like that. So we go to this fucking golf outing. Shout out my nigga Haas. He's super close with my bosses, and he puts on like that fundraiser every year for the the police department. And we pull up to this golf outing. It's dope as hell. Man, they had, you know, they you pull up, they take your clubs from you. They get your cart set
you
up for you. Yeah, you get a caddy. It's fire. They got crazy foods and shit like that. And then we end up going to this golf outing. They're like, okay, so it's going to be a scramble. You know, you can go out, whatever. There was like 20 teams or some shit, and there was like an award ceremony afterwards. So anyway, this is my first time ever being on the golf course, but I'm with three really good golfers, too. Right. You feel me? So they're kind of just teaching me, showing me the ropes. We're playing a scramble anyway. So, you know, I'm learning. We get to, like, the sixth hole, I think, and we smoking.
You probably peered a shot and fell in love, didn't you?
Bro, no. So we're smoking, and fucking Mike Morse walks by. Mike Morse is like... He's like, man, you fellas smell nice. We're like, yeah. I'm like, bro, Mike Morse. He's like,
you hit the blunt. And
he's
see
like,
Mike Morse.
He's like, yeah. I'm like, are you in the golf outing? He's like, yeah. I'm just kind of going around saying what's up to everybody. And he ended up smoking with us. So he ends up smoking with us and chilled with us probably for like another two or three holes. And then we ended up exchanging information. And that was the first day I golfed. And honestly, I did fall in love with that day. And then I started doing all the golf outings for like for the company. Yep. Like we go all out, my boss. I still have like Live golf gloves, golf balls. I have.
Oh, they're
Live,
probably hooking you up,
yeah,
aren't they?
Like the dry fit Live gear, yep, all that shit. So it's dope. So I started doing the outings, and then me and my boys golf like in the spring and the summertime. Try to go every weekend, but you know you can't always go.
Yeah,
every weekend, but we try to.
I'm already like 100 holes deep this year.
Oh,
crazy.
Nice.
But
I have not played yet. I have not played yet. But
I think
I'm gonna go next week.
What's your best score?
I don't even know. We don't really keep score, and I play by myself, to be honest.
I was gonna say.
I was about to say the only time I've ever really kept score is in scrambles at outings. Mm. I need to start keeping score though, low key.
So how many years have you been
going? Probably like three now.
Okay.
About three now.
I just got into it last year, and I'm a baseball player at heart, so I had that baseball swing when I was starting off.
Yep.
But I've taken like 40 strokes off my game in the last year. So
yeah, I would probably say my bet, because usually, you know, when we're keeping score like by yourself, motherfuckers stop paying attention.
Cheating
and shit. Like, bro, I didn't miss the ball three times. Like, you feel what I'm saying? Like, shit like that. So I haven't really kept a real score,
right,
and I plan to do that this summer for sure.
Hell yeah.
But really, I just go out there for the fun. My shots, my long game's got a lot better. My mid game's getting a little bit better. I feel like now that those are getting better, though, my putting is worse. But we gonna figure it out this
I've
summer.
Always been told to start from the hole back, like, so start on your short game and then work your way back. But I don't know, everyone's different. Golf's a tough game, man.
Yeah.
People that have never golfed, they don't get it. The golf is a very tough game. It's more mental than it is.
It's
like,
more mental. Yeah. It's crazy. But man, we got to get out on the course.
No, I was about
summer.
To say that we're gonna have to get out on the course one day.
We definitely do. So then back to Mike Morse ass. We smoke with this dude, and then he exchanges information with me, and then like 2 weeks later, I'm at work at the store, and Mike Morse pulls up, and he comes in. He's like, "Man, can I?" He's like, "Can Felix help me?" He asked for me by name. Fucking pulls up. We end up. I helped him. He tipped me pretty big, and then he was just like, "Man, you know, if you ever need anything, hit me up." And then we golfed. I think maybe one time after that, and then we just kind of kept in touch over the years. And then I just hit him up. I was like, "Yo, would you be willing to come on my podcast?" And he's like, "Hell yeah!" He pulled up.
That's
that
dope.
Shit was lit.
I did watch a little bit of that episode. It was from what I did watch. It was a fire episode. So.
Yeah, yeah. He was talking about the law and like shit. He had just got some dude out of prison who was like wrongfully convicted.
Damn.
And it was his first time ever doing something like that.
Damn.
So yeah, Mike Morse, that nigga, bro.
I see him everywhere. I'm driving down the highway. See him everywhere. No, that's funny. Kind of curious, like, stuff that you can speak on. What's like your upcoming schedule look like? You know, music, events, anything, any projects coming?
So right now I'm working on a couple of. I told you I got a lot of music in the vault. We'll have some time after this. I'll show you some shit. You know, how you check out some music.
Yeah.
But I'm working on probably a solo album that I think is pretty much done. I just might add a couple things because I got some songs that I've been working on for some years that I think are really good and it's time to put them out. And then my boy AY, shout out AY, he works with me at Live, and he's a dope-ass artist. Like, I don't know what that nigga do. He likes pop, R&B, rap.
It's everything. He's
everything.
His own genre.
Yeah, but he fire, though. Nigga fire. So we working on kind of like more of like pop, R&B vibe album with like some hip-hop blends in there. So we did a few tracks already that sound really good. So, and that one's like real experimental for me because I'm singing a little more, you know, doing a little more like shit outside my element that I haven't, you know, tapped into in a while. But other than that, my album is more like, my album is more kind of all over the place, a little more rap on this end, but then on this end there's reggae tracks, there's a rock song on there,
okay,
there's all type of shit. So kind of just blending genres and gonna put out a couple projects probably over the next year. And then I got a lot of cool shit happening with the podcast right now. Different guests coming on. We got like 3 podcasts scheduled in the next like month. We got some more celebrities coming on. Okay. It's all about scheduling, though. But yeah, we do got some celebrities in the back pocket. You know, I would love to help you out, too, man. If you ever need some contacts,
man, let me know.
Some of these people, man, they're cool. They're down to sit down and have a conversation,
right,
you know?
Right.
But, yeah, so just shit with the podcast. And then other than that, I did what I was talking to you about a little bit, and this will probably come out. So Iced Up piped up the song we put out.
Just a few weeks ago.
We just shot the video for it. We're going to shoot the last scenes today. That'll come out soon. So shout out my boy Kareem. He was his ex's girl. She's a student at U of M. She basically is in, I think it's a music video class. And she was like, she needed an artist to basically shoot a video for her class.
That's a dope Kareem, project as a college student. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
So Kareem lives in LA now, and they do get a budget for it and all that shit, but you'd have to put the flight in the budget. You got to stay out there. Right. It was just too many moving pieces. So he basically was like, well, Felix lives in the city. Like, y'all should hit up Felix and see if he's down to do it. And then when he hit me up about it, I'm like, I'm down. I met with Ellie. She's super fire. Her whole team, Claire, and I think, sorry if I'm getting this wrong, I'm pretty sure his name was Devin. He was there for a couple days. He was fire. Lacey, they was all super dope, super professional. But they pulled up. They planned out a 3-day shoot. I gave her pretty much creative control. I told her a little bit of where my head was at, mm-hmm, and then, you know, let her bring it to life. And it was cool. It was cool. We did a 3-day shoot. And so that video should be coming out soon. And that's for the Iced Up Piped Up song, kind of to answer your question you asked earlier. That was another song where it was just like we was in the studio and that beat came on and we was just like, yo, this is crazy.
Magic.
And then I remember, so Delvon was at that session. That nigga was asleep on the couch and he woke up when the song was like pretty much done. Mm. He went to sleep, the song didn't exist, and he woke up, that bitch was done. And that shit brought that nigga back to life because that hook is crazy. I've never really done like scream rap like that before. Mm. I perform that, every time I perform that at any show, the crowd goes crazy. Yeah. So getting that reaction so much, I'm like, I know I got to put this song out, but it has to have some firepower behind it. So the stars aligning when I got the opportunity to work with the U of M students. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, we got I didn't push it on her, which is crazy, right? I sent her options and that was one of the options she picked. And I was like, see, it makes sense.
It all
worked
out.
I'm like, let's make it happen. So
that's what's dope about videographers too, is like, obviously you have your own vision for like what a video would maybe look like, or you have some ideas, but like you said, you gave her creative control.
Yeah.
For her to like have her own vision for it, like, I don't know, I think that's dope, the whole side of collaboration. I've always thought that shit was cool, so.
Yeah, it was cool as hell, man. Like, she kind of just ran some ideas past me, and I'm like, you know, I'm cool with that. And then she pretty much made it happen. All she needed from me was a couple extras for a couple scenes and shit, like, and show up, and we made it happen. They were shooting with some crazy cameras. They were able to take whatever they wanted from the inventory from school. Damn.
I can only imagine what Michigan's got in their vault,
too. That video was crazy, man. It was dope. It makes you want to just shoot videos. I'm like, I got to pop, because that's like a $10,000 video shoot we just did. But well, no, there's some people out here, you pay them a rack, 2 racks, they can give you that quality, for real. Like, you, man, like, I don't know if that's what he charging now, but I don't know if you heard it directed by Diego. Diego Cruz is fire. Shout out my boy. I've known him for a minute. We haven't linked up in a while, but he did a video for me, my boy Issa, and Sharif.
Issa Mighty?
Yeah.
I had him on here. Yeah. Issa's a cool-ass dude.
Yeah, so he did a video for us back in the day, and now he shoots for, like, Vezo and fucking all types of crazy motherfuckers. I think he did some shit with Kodak, and he's fire. So you can get that quality in the city.
Right.
I don't know what he charging now. It was around $1,500 back in the
getting
day.
Taxed now.
It's probably taxed now, you feel me? But, hey, he deserved it. That nigga was he going to give you that quality. You know what I'm saying? And he's one of those where it's like, he's a director, he's a cinematographer, you know, on some like on his Cole Bennett shit.
Yeah.
You know?
So well, while we are speaking on your music, obviously you've been recording since what, 20 or been putting out music since 2017. You've worked with guys like Montana 300, Sada Baby, Vori. How do those relationships come about, and how do those songs come about?
Where, so I actually been putting music out. My first song came out in 2014.
Oh, shit, my bad.
It's called Puff. It's on SoundCloud. That's the one I recorded at the Ferris Studio. Mm. Yeah, that song is my first record. But to answer your question, like, been putting music out for a long time. Really, what happened was when I got with Chris, man, Chris really was, like, showing me a different way to go about the music shit. And I really wish that I locked in a little more, like how I locked in recently. I wish I was more locked in at that point, because Chris was really locked in, and he was really that guiding force for me to, like, focus on my image and, like, what I wanted to do. And it's like, yeah, making music with your friends is cool. It's dope. That's what you should do. But if you really want to get out to the masses, we need to start collaborating. We need to start getting you out in front of different audiences.
Getting in the right rooms and whatnot.
You know, shit like that. Yeah. So that's really that business side is kind of where he sparked that in me. And then that's when we started, like, looking at collaborations. And the first big collaboration was Montana 300. And shout out Montana, his team. If y'all not familiar with Montana 300, because that's more... He's still relevant in my mind. Like, I still follow the nigga. He still can spit his ass off.
He was really big, though, what, 10 years ago?
10 years ago, he was really big. And he was, like, anti-industry. Like, man, fuck y'all. I'm going to do this independent. I'm going to do it myself. And rapping his ass off. You talk about rapping like the motherfucking Rents dude. That nigga be spitting. So that was the first big collaboration we did. He sent us the verse. We actually spoke with him and his manager. You know, we paid him. He sent us the verse. But then he went a mile, you know, took it an extra mile. He did the video, too. So we pulled up to Chicago. We actually went out to dinner with him and his team. That was my first, like, celebrity experience. People was walking up to the table asking us for autographs and shit. Like, that shit was kind of crazy. So, but we went out to dinner with him and his team. And then after dinner, we shot the music video, and he was just super cool. And, you know, if you haven't seen the video, it's called No Playgrounds. Check out the song. That was my first video to hit 100K. And then so we let FGE, that's Fly Guy Entertainment, that's Montana's of 300's label. Yep. We let, like, a Fly Guy Entertainment page post the video because it had more followers than us at the time. It was like, it made sense. It was all kind of Montana 300 based. Like, 6 months later, maybe not, like, 4 months later, the page got took down for copyright. And the video was at, like, 150K.
Damn.
Yeah, that shit's crazy. It was super crazy. It's still out. It's on my page. It's got way less views, but that's just crazy. But also, I didn't put... And this is where I'm learning this now. I stopped promoting that song. After I took that L, we just moved on. We just made the next song. You know what I'm
saying? You kind of have to in music at the same time, though, too. So, depending on the song.
Yeah, depending on the song. And it does really well on streaming, too. Like, that's definitely a big record for me. Like,
hell yeah.
The next collabs we started doing was, like, La Brittany. She's from Detroit. She lives out in LA now. She was on, like, Love and Hip Hop, shit like that. She makes really fire music, dope dancer. She does really cool videos online of her cooking and shit.
Okay.
But she's dope, super fire. She was a big collab, so we did a couple songs together. And I actually wrote some records where she just came on and just did, like, a hook that I wrote, things like that. So that was my first experience writing for a professional, you know, having her come in the studio and her really giving me creative control and letting me kind of, you know, lead
guide the song.
And guide the song. Yeah, so those records were dope. And then we decided we wanted to do some collabs because we kind of had some interesting shit fall into our laps. It was an opportunity to work with Gucci and Future.
Okay.
And it was like, you know, they kind of like had these throwaway verses, you know? You could get the license in.
Future.
Hey,
my God, it's like my favorite rapper of all
really?
Time.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to show you that song. So it was kind of like they were doing a collab for the Lolos. I don't even remember where we got this plug from. It was super random. But we ended up getting the plug with a Gucci verse and a Future verse. Worked with this producer out in Saginaw who did that for us, which was super dope. And then we did those songs. And then when we did those songs, it kind of sparked in, you know, me wanting to do a little more trap, but then kind of mix in the soul and the pop a little bit too. So then that's where the Sada Baby record kind of came into play.
Okay.
So I actually hit up the producer that helped me do the records with Gucci and Future. He posted on Facebook one day randomly a picture with Sada Baby. And I'm like, nigga, you know Sada? He's like, yeah, I grew up with him, shit like this.
Oh,
he's
what?
Like, he records in my studio, all type of shit. So he plugged me with his name's like Ruleus. He's a Hispanic dude.
And this is like before Sada like really, really took
really
off.
Really took
right?
off. Yeah, this is like This is right before he took off, because he was still pretty popping at that point. Yeah, this was like 2017.
Okay.
So he knew Sada. Maybe a day later, he had me and Sada on the phone. And then he you know, I'll pull up, I'll do the record, whatever. So, like, a week later, we had him pull up to Get Fresh. I didn't already recorded the song with La Brittany, had her do the hook, did my verse, sent it to this man. He pull up to the studio. We like, did you listen to the song? He like, nah. I'm like, okay, cool. So, at that point, I was working at this dope-ass dispensary, Dream, on 8 Mile. My the owner, Joel, was, like, super... super into hip hop, fucked with Sada Baby, so he pulled up with the packs, nigga. We had hella weed, we had THC lean, all type of shit. So Sada pulled up his team. We were like, whatever, you haven't listened to the song. He like, just play it, bro. Just play it. So we played it. He listened to my verse, listened to her shit, and then we just got super blowed. And then he went over in the corner for like 10 minutes and just bobbed his head. And then he went in the fucking booth and he one take that verse.
Oh, I believe
it. And if you listen to my song Reason with Sada Baby, That's arguably one of my favorite Sada Baby verses ever.
Really?
And that nigga one take that bitch, and he hadn't even heard the beat before he got there.
I know he's like a punching master.
But my nigga, one take is crazy. He one taked it, and if you don't believe me, listen closely to the end of the verse, because he starts like screaming because he's so excited that he just one take that bitch in his ad lib. Like, bro, that's just crazy. Like, dog, that's actually the first day I realized, like, because at that point I was writing full records, like sometimes 3-4 songs, and then going to the studio.
Yeah,
that was the first day I was like, I gotta start catching a vibe. Like, so then that, so sometimes I'll go in the studio, I might have a beat, I might not. And then right. We just write and see what we come up with. Because that shit was like, bro, it was crazy.
But for him to be like on the spot like that is crazy. Like, that's a whole other beast, dude. That's a whole other type of... Yeah, that's crazy.
That nigga was in a different bag, bro. Shout out Sada, man. Shout out Sada for real.
Oh, yeah.
And then pulled up, he did the video, too. So we did the video with La Brittany. The video was super fire. But, yeah, that's kind of how that came about, too. And then I haven't done any, like... Well, I mean, I haven't done too many bigger collabs other than that. I did the Vori collab. That was another thing kind of fell in my lap. I knew somebody who had that plug, and that he would just do the hook on the song, and then I would do the verses. I'm like, all right, bet. So I got the hook for the lows. It was nice. I actually went out to L.A. to record that song. I did not like the song that we recorded.
Really?
I didn't like it at all. It did not sound good, in my opinion. So when I came back from L.A., I got the stems from the producer, came back from L.A., linked up with Chris, and then we redid my parts.
Okay.
And then I had Chris mix the song, and we put it out.
Okay.
So, yeah. So hell yeah. That's kind of how the Vori shit came about.
Well, we already touched on your... I gotta quit saying that. Now you got me in my head thinking about that. We already spoke on like an average studio session, like what your kind of creative mind or space looks like when you're getting ready to go record something. But that leads me to the question, like, when you're, do you ever get like a creative or like writer's block? And if so, how do you overcome that?
Sometimes I get blocked, but it's like, okay, for instance, I was writing some shit the other day. I just recorded a song in the studio last week. When I first wrote the song, I was instantly inspired when I heard the beat. Started writing, wrote the first verse, and then I wrote like the first two bars of the second verse, and I didn't have a hook.
Okay.
But then I was just sitting there, and I would just bob my head, listen to the song, and I really didn't have no more bars left in me, for real. So I really didn't, and like, so I run into situations like that a lot too, where you just step away. You know, sometimes that's all you can.
Just a little break.
Take a little break. Sometimes you've been looking at it too long, listen to the beat too long. You just got to step away, smoke something, try to go outside and just get re-inspired, or just come back to it, you know? I feel like a lot of artists is like, we got to do this now. And I get it. You want to be punctual. You want to be consistent, but, you know, you can't rush art.
When you do take that break, I like that line, can't rush art. But when you do take that break, what are some things that you like to do to kind of get away from the music for a little bit? You know, what's something that can get your creative juices flowing again?
I guess, like I said, just smoking, vibing. It's crazy, vibing to more music, but this is not the music I'm trying to write to.
Like, there's nothing outside of music that really gets you thinking?
Yeah, you know, I can, it really, really sometimes is just chilling and just being in my own space, but really to clear my head, like, I'll game sometimes.
Okay.
I'll write other shit, like, not just music, you know. Sometimes I've been into, like, trying to think of like script ideas and shit like that. Like I said, I want to act and things like that. So really just brainstorming and plotting, bro, is really big for me. And then, like I said, in pastime, smoking, playing the game, maybe watching a movie, watching a TV show, you know, going outside, going for a drive, something like that.
What games or shows you into?
Games, lately I've been playing, you know, I play 2K, been playing 2K my whole life. I play the new MLB, the show is fire, 25.
The one where you can, can't you play, like, on the road to show, you play, like, high school, college?
And, yeah, that shit's fire. I've been playing COD this round, so Black Ops 6. I think I'm the highest prestige I've ever been in COD. So that, because I didn't really play a lot when I was a kid. So my roommates play all the time. A lot of my friends play all the time.
I was
so
gonna say, like, I had buddies that were skipping school the day of the release. They're going, they're prestige by the next
day. Yeah, you feel me? I went into all that shit. You know, I've always been a 2K guy, though. Yeah. I've always played 2K, but. So I get into COD. I play Madden sometimes, not as much though.
You a GTA guy? You excited for GTA 6?
I'm excited for GTA 6. I got out of GTA in recent years. I played a lot back in the day, but recent years I haven't played.
They're talking about you can make money on this new one coming out. Like,
niggas making money on GTA 5 with the servers and shit.
Oh yeah. But I'm saying, like, I don't know, like, the full thing. I'm not fully educated on it, but I heard there's, like, way more opportunities with GTA 6 than there is, like, in previous
times. I believe
previous
it.
Times.
That shit gonna be dope.
You ever seen, like, the people doing, like, studio sessions on GTA?
Yeah.
That shit's crazy, man. You said you wanted to get into acting, too. You got anything, like, on the table for that, or just kind of just getting started?
I'm really just getting started. Like I said, the podcast is, like, my audition for it, I guess, getting my face out there, getting people used to knowing me, knowing who I am. I do have a couple homies that act that I'm trying to kind of pick their brains and see, you know, they're getting booked for like commercials and shows and shit like that. So really trying to see the lanes that they took. And it's all about who you know, man, for real.
Is there a lot of stuff in Michigan or a lot of places in Michigan that you can do with that?
Yeah,
you got to go outside of Michigan.
There's agencies here for the shit. That's what it, you just got to find the right ones, because some niggas be scamming, you know?
Right.
So you really got to figure out. But then going abroad too helps, you know? It would help.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely more opportunities, but there's a lot of opportunities here too. Especially with the rebirth of the city, people are starting to bring more productions here and bring more shit here. So I'm trying to get in that bag for real.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say your biggest weakness is as an artist, something you know or want to improve on in the future? It doesn't have to be just an artist. It could be anything.
I would say as an artist would be my lack in, like, production and being in auto engineering and mixing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not being able to do it myself is still something I feel like that hinders me from other artists who are very talented in that realm. So I think as an artist, that's my biggest hindrance. But I think my pen game is, you know, I can put my pen against most people, in my opinion. You feel me? If I really put my head to it. And I love dabbling in different, like I said, in different genres. So I think I'm strong in that sense. And then I guess what I want to work on is just in life, is just being more patient, you know? And I feel like I've been doing a better job with that recently. Like, just being more patient, letting shit come as it comes, pause.
Organically.
And just, just letting things be, you know? And just worrying about what I can control.
Right.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I mean, you got a few more years of experience. I mean, I'm only 24. I just turned 24.
Okay.
That's one thing that I've learned, like, throughout college, was only worry about things you can control. That was, like, one of my biggest things that I've taken away in the last, like, 5 years of my life, is, like, there's only so much that you can control. Leave it that way. So that was a really good answer. If you could make a collab album with any artist in the music industry of all time, who would it be and why?
Damn, that's crazy.
I told you, I got some fire questions
just
towards the end that we ask everyone, but...
Just one?
One person, one collab album. You can also choose a producer.
So I could pick an artist and a producer?
Yeah.
Okay. Damn,
and maybe,
man,
you could put one feature on the album, too. Why not?
All right, so the producer for the album. Honestly, you want to know what's crazy? The producer is Honorable C-Note.
Mm.
So we're going to bring Honorable C-Note in to produce. Then the collab on the album, oh my God. The collab on the album.
What about Honorable C-Note inspires you so much, though?
Honestly, bro, the way his beats are, like, his bass lines are crazy, and I just like, you know, his style and the way he produces. That's actually one of my favorite producers. It's one of Chris's favorite producers. Chris actually got to meet him a few months ago.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I was on the way out here, I was thinking, I was like, I know Chris was just on a little tour, and he was with some producers, and I was trying to think of who the producer was, because I remember seeing it on his story one night. C-Note. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Anyways, continue. My bad.
Yeah, so probably C-Note, just because I know he'd go crazy, and I could probably give him some, like, ideas of my style, and he can probably incorporate that a little bit too, and I think we just make something fire. And then the collab on the album, that's, I mean, Drake. Hang on.
That's the obvious answer.
Talk about. Well, let's just say Drake's the feature. So okay, Drake's the feature. Okay. I just need one Drake feature. Yeah. That's okay. I'll take one Drake feature. The collab on the album would be, man, that's a hard one. Because I love so many different styles of music and so much music. But I guess for honorable C-note, the collab on the album would have to be, Drake, if you ever see this, don't hate me, but it's got to be Future.
You know what's funny is we had someone answer this question. It was, they said Drake, and then I was like, well, who you want to produce? And they were like, probably Metro Boomin. And I'm just like, bro, it's too soon right
know.
Now.
I don't know. Future is the obvious answer, too. So we're not going to say Future. We're going to say Drake is the feature, and we're going to say the collab is going to be, damn, that's a good question.
Love asking these questions to the guests.
You know what? I'm gonna go different route because hearing him on these beats would be crazy. I'm gonna say Eminem on the collab. Mm. I'm gonna say M on the collab for the whole album. Drake on the feature. Honorable C-Note producing. That'd be a crazy album.
All right, this is my personal favorite question to ask. Five dinner guests, dead or alive. Doesn't have to be artists, musicians. It can be anybody.
Okay. Dead or alive. So Bob Marley is going to be there for show. You got to have Bob in that bitch. Damn. So Bob Marley's definitely got to be there. Michael Jackson got to be there.
Yep.
Who else? I'm trying to think.
Any family members, comedians, so not just, athletes, not just no, celebrities. It could be anyone.
Okay, so well, we gonna kick Michael Jackson out. I love you, Mike, but we gonna bring Bob Marley back. Bob Marley's there. My mother's there. My grandmother's there. That's three people, right?
Yep.
Then I would say after that, Steven is there. My nigga Steven gotta be in that. And then
that last seat's important, isn't it?
Last seat's important. I'm like, do I give it to family? Who do I give it to? Because there's no chronological order in how I care about people. Just who would make it fun, you know? Who I care about that's there that would make it fun. And then, man, my sister's got to be there. My sister Bree had to be there, too. She turned. That should be lit.
What are you guys eating? And who's cooking?
What are we eating? See, that's important now. You feel me now? Because now I got all the cooks at the table. My sister, my mama, and my grandmother. We having full Thanksgiving dinner, bro.
That could open a seat up if they're cooking, too.
Man, fried, man. You getting oven turkey, fried turkey, man. You getting yams and mac and cheese, greens, pasta salad, all that. So straight Thanksgiving course. Dressing all the fixings. So yeah, that'd be nice. Mostly family, and then my boy Steven, who he's family too. So
personal favorite top five artists of all time.
So my favorite rapper of all time is 50 Cent. If you know me, you know that I've stood on that for years. That's who I've been fucking with 50 since Get Rich or Die Trying came out. I was 7, I think. I wasn't even supposed to be listening to that shit. That album was fucking fire. So 50 Cent is in there. I'm going to give you a crazy list. 50 Cent, Michael Jackson, Justin Timberlake.
Mm.
Bob Marley. The last spot I would give it to in my top five,
I'm gonna
give it to Pac.
Okay.
I'm gonna put Pac in there. Those are my top five.
My next question you might have already answered. I was gonna say, if you could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, start to finish, is it Get Rich or Die Trying, or is it something else?
Man, I'd be angry if I listen to that album all the time. That nigga was angry. He just got shot when that shit came out. That is a great album, though. Shout out 50. I could listen to that album all the time. Yeah, but I would say start to finish, if I had to just listen to that for the rest of my life, it would probably be... it's a toss up. Exodus by Marley and the Wailers, or Curveball. Kanye.
Which one?
Graduation.
I was going to say College Dropout or Graduation is a toss up.
It's a toss up between the two. Yeah. If you would let me get away with that. That's between those two great albums. I could listen to those all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gun to your head, you got to sing every lyric to a song in order to stay alive. What song is that?
Man, that's a lot of songs. I
can't be one of your own.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that's what blessed me as an artist is I'm really good at like memorizing songs. But I would say, damn, what fucking song would I say? Because I'm drawing a blank. There's so many I can think of. I'll pick an easy one. We'll say it'll be a 50 Cent one. 50 Cent if I can't. We'll say 50 Cent if I can't, okay. For sure.
We have some guests that are like, happy birthday. Or like, they'll say like the most stupid song like that, or the alphabet or whatever.
No, but I do know a lot of songs. Pro tip, which you should do. I thought about doing this on the show. If you ask that question, make them sing the song.
Have you seen T-Pain's?
Yeah.
Where he like actually makes them sing like the karaoke song.
That shit's fire.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably 50 Cent if I can. I could rap that shit for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. And this is like one of my final questions. In the next 10 years, whether it's inside music, outside music, what other ventures do you want to do in the next 10 years? Where do you see yourself doing, or what do you see yourself doing?
So I'm heavy in the cannabis industry. You know, a lot of people know that about me. So maybe my own brand in cannabis, not really a store, but, you know, product lines and shit like that. Acting, like I said, maybe writing scripts and, you know, selling scripts and things like that, because I feel like I got some good movie ideas, good show ideas that I've, because I've always been, you know, big movie buff and into shows and shit like that. Outside of that, just really looking at other ways to make revenue, you know, how we can keep on building revenue for the podcast. What other, you know, baskets can I dip into, you know, maybe starting a studio one day, you know, get some 18 wheelers, you know, just invest in my money, you know? Right. So that's really the goal. Just continue to invest. You know, I'm a serial entrepreneur. Got my business degree. So that's really what I want to do is just keep on building different revenue streams and, you know, putting on for myself and my family and trying to leave something when I'm not here.
Hell yeah. That was very well said. Very well spoken, dude, in this episode. It was nice meeting you. I thank you for coming on.
Yeah, no doubt, man. This
took a minute, but we got it. But yeah, thank you for coming on. Everyone go check out his stuff. Link will be in the description. Are there any shout outs or any love you want to give real quick before you sign off?
Man, shout out my family. Shout out Liv. Shout out the team, man, Delvon and D and everybody who helps us put the show together. Follow me on everything, Felix the Don, the Loft 313, and appreciate y'all for having me out, man.
Yes, sir. Links will be in the description. Thank you for coming on once again. I'm excited to see what you do in the next 10 years, like we just said, even longer than that. Wishing nothing but more life and more blessings. So thank you for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, my dog.
All right. With that being said, that's episode, what I say, 71.
71.
Episode number 71. Like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you guys next Sunday. Peace out.